part three of Secrets. So you got some notepaper there. Let me throw out a couple of verses, kind of give you a running start, right? Romans chapter 7, if you'll go there, you can find Psalm 91. Our last time together, we talked about how to deal with strongholds in our lives in order to get to that secret place with the Father. And sometimes, you know, sometimes you got those strongholds, and it's okay to take those strongholds into the secret place, because that's God wants to deal with you there. He wants to take care of those things there, okay? You're not trying to get perfect, okay, because none of us will never get there, okay? But through the power of the Holy Spirit and the truth of God's Word, He is perfecting us. There's nothing you and I can hide from God. He already knows the junk in your trunk, right? He already knows it all. It's like, you know, I'm ashamed to say. Well, no, don't be ashamed. God knows it all. Just tell it. Confess it. And I love it when we confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from what? All of it. All of it, man. All of it. And so we define those strongholds as a fortified place, a fortress, or anything that opposes the will of God. And we discussed how our flesh, mind, will, and emotions can oppose or even war against the things of God. Okay? The Apostle Paul, we talked about, who, by the way, struggled with the same flesh that we struggle with. But he gave us a picture here in Romans chapter 7 and Galatians 5. We're not going to read Galatians 5 again tonight, but in Romans 7 on how our flesh, mind, will, and emotions can go sideways on us. Amen. In a blink of an eye, an instant, it can just go sideways on us. And you guys know what I'm talking about here. You know what I'm talking about. But he gives us, in Romans 7 and in chapter 8 as well, he gives us steps for victory. How many want steps? Let me caution you. God never deals with leaps. He always deals with steps. In fact, he says in Psalm 37 that the steps of a righteous man or a woman are ordered of God. God is not the author of leaps. You know, and so it's like a slow, we're all on this journey, a slow grow. Now, some of us grow faster than others. Some of us are a little slow, if you know what I mean. Okay? But that's okay. But God never is the author of leaps. You know who's the author of leap? The devil. Amen. The devil wants you to leap. He's the one that tried to get Jesus to what? Leap off the pinnacle of the temple. Okay, so God works in steps. Turn to your neighbor and say, baby steps. If you know the movie, What About Bob, you know what I'm talking about. All right. Romans chapter 7. Paul, I'm just going to highlight some of these verses here. Verse 18, he says, I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, nothing good dwells. Then down in verse 24, he says, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Who's going to deliver me from this knothead thinking? This stinking thinking? Who's going to set me free? Think about it. People without, oh man, man, this just grips me. People without Jesus are stuck. They're stuck in their thinking, stinking thinking. They don't even know they're stuck. Amen. Jill and I, we were coming back from the west side of the state yesterday. We had to make a detour to a doctor's office, and we're in, you know, the traffic was beautiful coming back, smooth roads on the west side. There's smooth roads over on the west side of Michigan. Get in here, the metro area, and it's like a combat zone. And then all the traffic. And then, long story short, we decided we were not going to fight with this traffic. We're going to wait till after rush hour, so we decided to stop at a restaurant and get something to eat. So while we were in there, our waitress, Ashley, she is waiting on us. And so we just kindly asked Ashley, you know, we're Christ followers here. Is there something we can pray for you? And she began to name off all these things of the world. Amen. Job, school. And there were concerns at first, legitimate concerns. Boyfriend in prison, da-da-da-da. You know, all this stuff. And I'm listening to her, and I'm like, okay. See, you're tap dancing around the whole issue that God loves you. He's got a plan for your life. And see, that's the world's thinking. That's the world's thinking. So we just prayed, man. We just prayed a Holy Ghost prayer. Jill and I just prayed just this gentle prayer that she would come to know Christ in a real way, that God would meet her where she's at. And just, you know, but my point in sharing that with you is because this is the world, this is the way they think. It's all about the flesh. It's all about their soul, their mind, will, and emotions. It's how I feel. If someone likes me on Facebook or not, or someone didn't like this or like that. You know, we were at a funeral a couple of weeks ago, and this is how crazy the world is. True story. One of the family members was sharing with us like a cousin's sister, or I don't remember the relation. Oh my gosh. Teenage girl has a child. Two of her girlfriends on Facebook didn't like something she said. So you know what they did? They came over, coaxed her outside, her and her baby, got the baby on the ground, left the baby, and somehow attached her to the car and drug her for two city blocks, and killed her. Because they didn't like what she posted on Facebook. This is the world we live in today. Okay? And so Paul saying, oh, wretched man, woman, young person, whatever, that I am. We're nothing without Christ. Who will deliver me from this body of death? And then verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. But then he goes on, verse 1 of chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Thank God I'm free. I'm free, and what about you? Amen? For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of my sin. He did this for Mark Urich. This is what just blows my mind. When I sit and think about it and begin to talk about it, I don't know about you, but it's a fresh revelation, mind-blowing revelation, the fact that he loved me so much. Amen. Charles. My gosh, that I'm standing here talking to you tonight. You know, and people say, you get too excited. Why shouldn't I get too excited, man? He reached down Psalm 40 into a mucky, miry pit of sin and destruction and pulled me out and set me on a rock. And that rock is Jesus Christ. Someone shout amen. Amen. That deserves an Andy Griffith. Yes, ma'am. Oh, yeah. That the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh, here it is, set their minds on the things of the flesh. Just constantly consumed with stuff of this world that is fading away. We had an opportunity at the wedding to sit with my cousin, who I grew up with. He's 10 days younger than me, and we grew up together, man. Just had a blast together, and haven't seen him in, well, I buried his son 5 years ago. Terrible, terrible car accident. Silly teenage, 100-mile-an-hour, wrapped the car around a tree. Unbelievable. And I buried his son 5 years ago. But before that, hadn't seen him in 20, 25 years. And it was just horrible. So they're doing well, him and his wife now. And But Jill and I were just talking with them, and you know, again, folks, we're talking about, there's so much here. There's just so much. We're ministering, just ministering, not talking about Jesus per se, but we're just saying, you know, listening. We're listening to their life and what they're going through. And this guy, my cousin Michael, is a chemical engineer, and he has worked for the federal government for 25 years. And his job, he was in charge of recharging nuclear weapons. Okay? That was his job, because after 13 years, am I right on this, Charles? Maybe you know a little bit because you worked on the B-52s. But after 13 years, I don't know the terminology, but the weapons wear down and they need to be charged back up. So he was in charge of that, working with some of the plants. So long story short, we're listening to this, and I can tell they're people of lots of money. I can tell. But then they begin to share of all the pain in their life. And we just somehow, some way worked in how Jesus has just brought us peace where we're at today. No judgment, just, you know, but they were asking questions. And so I said that just to folks, we've got to be tuned in to the Holy Spirit. And the way, as you many of you shared today, to get tuned in is to get into that secret place. Because God not only downloads stuff into your spirit, but then guess what? You come out of there recharged. You come out of there and you don't even know. You just say, Lord, have your way. Use me anywhere. And all of a sudden, you find yourself in situations with people that all of a sudden you're just, how many know what I'm talking about? You just begin to share. You begin to pray. You begin to whatever. You don't even have to say. You can begin to pray like Mark's praying right there for our teenagers, adopting teenagers, and praying for them. And so Paul says, getting back to verse 5, he says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Verse 12, therefore, brethren, we are not debtors not to the flesh. We are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you live according to the Spirit and put to death the things, the deeds of the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. That's the mark of a child of God, that we don't have to be led by our flesh, mind, will, and emotions. We can be. It's our right, our born-again privilege, right, to be led by the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. And the only way we can get to that place, and man, there's no one perfect in this. Nobody's perfect in this. It takes work. Okay? It takes time. It takes effort on our part, that we've got to find ourselves in the secret place. And so last time I talked about this, how our flesh is an outlaw. Your flesh, my flesh, is an outlaw. Can't be trusted. Okay? Can't be trusted. And the only way to have victory over our flesh is to find ourselves regularly or daily in the secret place. Last time we also talked about the secret of choosing, and I left you with three things to choose. Here we go. In case you didn't get them, here we go. I'm going to give them to you real quick. Number one, choose. This is a secret. Secret of choosing. Choose to say yes. Yes, Lord, I am going to come willingly to meet with you and talk with you and pray with you, Lord God. I'm going to sit down with you. You don't have to drag me in like some rented mule that doesn't want to come. Amen. Psalm 32, I'll read it to you. I love this verse, man. This really, like, Lord, please, I don't want to be like this. Psalm 32:8 says, God says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. Not in the way that I want to go or you want to go, in the way that you should go, God says. I will guide you with my eye, or I will guide you or lead you by my Holy Spirit. I'll lead you. And then he goes, verse 9, do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with the bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. In other words, don't be like the horse Jack. You remember Jack I talked about? Couldn't get him into that trailer for an hour, hour and a half. He didn't want to go in, okay? And see, sometimes our flesh, if we allow it, will be just like that horse Jack, not wanting to go into the presence of God. I appreciate Marcia here. Man, she's been telling her flesh, flesh, get your butt out of the house. You're going to church. Amen. Right, Marcia? And sometimes we have to do that. We have to say, I don't feel like it, but I'm going anyway. Amen. Come on. Listen, we got a whole generation that's younger generations that's watching us. They're listening to us. Regardless of what you might think, they need us more than they realize. So we got to set the standard, folks. Okay? And the standard is simple. It's the Word of God. The second thing we talked about choosing was choose to shut the door. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said, he said in verse 6, but when you pray, go into your room, and when you have, here it is, shut the door, pray to your Father who's where? In the secret place. And your Father who sees in the secret will reward you openly. And so when you and I shut the door, we're shutting out all the noise and the busyness of the world around us, and we're shutting ourselves into the very presence of God. And guess what? He's been waiting for you. He's been standing there saying, come on, Charles. Come on. Come on, Bob. Come on, Jill. Come on, Deanne. Come on in, man. Come on. Come on in. The water's warm. Amen. Right? Jump in the river. Remember that song we used to sing? Jump, jump, jump in the river. There's some truth to that. Jump into the river of living water in the very presence of God. It's called the secret place. But you and I have to shut the door. Okay? I'll tell you, this morning I had a tough time of it. So I just felt, Lord, so I know I can give you my total undivided attention. I'm going to go out. I got myself up extra early because I noticed last night when we came home, my flowers are dry, you know. Or Jill's flowers. I'm sorry. Jill's flowers. And I'm like, oh, man, I got to get out there. Our flowers, you know. So I'm like, okay. So I know that's going to be on my mind because some of them are like, ah, you know. And so, and they're too beautiful to let them just die. What? Brother, God made them. Right? I'm enjoying them, brother. Amen. So I went out there extra early, and I got all that stuff done. I did a few other things out there, man. And when I got in there, man, I spent the next 2 hours with Jesus. Now, some of us don't have that opportunity, okay? But you do have some time. And it's a decision you make. Amen. You got to tell your, that's the Holy Spirit inside you, tell your flesh, get your ratty butt out of bed. Amen. Come on. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Some of us sometimes just need a good, swift boot in the pants. Get up, you know, quit saying, well, I missed. I'd spend 4 days, 5 days, you know. No, just get up and do it. Okay? And so we've got to shut the door. And then number three, choose to listen. Matthew 13:9, Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. I love this, what Bob Sorge said in his book, Secrets of the Secret Place. Nothing changes when I talk. Things change when God talks. Right? When I talk, nothing happens. When God talks, the universe comes into existence. Some of you will remember this song. You talk too much, you worry me to death. You talk too much, you worry me, my pet. You talk too much. That's right. Sometimes we do. We need to learn to shut our yapper and listen to God. Come on, are you with me? We're always begging God. Like this girl, man, she went on yesterday. She's saying, oh, I need this and I need that, and I got to get this for school, and I got to go, I got to move to Georgia, and I need a car, and I got to get my boyfriend out of prison, and I'm like, would you just shut up? God wants to talk to you. Are you hearing me? Come on, this is where we all live. God wants to talk to us, but we've got to be willing to listen. So that means we got to slow it down and let him speak. Okay? God wants to teach us to listen to the Holy Spirit. And that means, and some of you shared this tonight, Deanne, you shared this, learning to rest in his presence and just slow down. I need that, you know. My personality is, you know, I'm go, and I'm sure you guys know somebody else like that, right? Just go. No, God says slow down. And sometimes, this is going to mess with some of you, sometimes he allows things to happen to slow you down. Amen. Just like my heart attack. Amen. Now, that's pretty extreme, but I want to tell you, Nurse Nancy, never met her before in my life, come into my room the very next day, and she told me, you need to slow down. God allowed this to happen because you won't spend time with him. You're so busy helping everybody else that you don't even practice what you preach. And I just started sobbing right there because she was 100% right. That was God speaking. And she says, are you going to listen? And I went, yes. Yes, I will. You don't want something like that to happen. So God's teaching us. Listen. All right. So as you and I are learning to listen, guess what? We'll find, and here we go, part three. Now we're getting into part three, the secret of refuge. Psalm 91. The secret of refuge. And I'll just use, Ronnie, my little illustration here, please. Yeah. I love this. And he who dwells in the secret place. Oh, I love it. Get a picture. Every time you open the door to go into your place, wherever that might be in your car, might be in your garage, might be a little nook or cranny at work on your lunch hour, could be your prayer room at home, could be out on your deck, could be by a riverside, out on the lake, whatever. But look what it says. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under shadow of the Almighty. See, I'm under this shadow right here, okay? And then it says, verse 2, I will say of the Lord. It's Mark that says it, not Jill for Mark, okay? Not Mark for Bob or Sue for Mary. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. And so the secret place, my friends, in prayer, is a place of refuge. You might want to write this down. It's a place of protection during the raging storms of life. And make no mistake about it, storms, trials, tests, tribulations will happen from time to time. Go with me to John's Gospel, the 16th chapter, John 16. Jesus makes us one of thousands of promises here. It's a promise. A lot of us don't like to recognize this. John 16:33, Jesus said, these things I have spoken to you, that in me, this is a promise, a two-part promise here, in me, you may have peace. Where? In him. Only in him. In the world, you might have some tribulation. Is that what it says? You will. You will have tribulation. But, I love the buts, because there's some good news coming there. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And so when he says, you will have tribulations, what he's talking about, you're going to have some pressures, Jack. You're going to have some oppression, some stress, some anxiety, some anguish, adversity. There's going to be some squeezing and squashing. There's going to be, yes, sometimes persecution. Get used to it. Toughen up. Come on. He's saying, this is what's going to happen. Pastor Tommy said it recently. Man, that just resonated with me. He said this, when you decide to live all out for God, there will be an attack on your life. Amen. There's going to be an attack on your life, whether it's physical, emotional, mental, could be from your own family members. Amen. There's going to be an attack on your life. Get ready for it. Listen, some of you guys are Marines, some of you are Army, Air Force, doesn't matter, Navy, whatever. Anytime you attack a position, you always, always prepare for a counterattack. Yeah. It's coming. So if you're prepared for that counterattack, it's not going to knock you off your feet. You'll be able to stand strong in the test, right? And so, listen, we as pastors and teachers, listen, we're nobody special, but listen, we would not be doing our job, and we would be doing you and this church family a disservice, an injustice, if we didn't tell you these things and we just wanted to tickle your ears and get an attaboy. Oh, wasn't that wonderful? It feels so good. And how many have ever come out of here just like, oh, man, that hurt? You know what I'm saying? Oh, man, that hurt, man. But you know what? The Holy Ghost, he's a good, good healer. Amen. And if you let the Holy Spirit work on you a little bit, and you take what was spoken, you take it to the Word of God and say, yep, that's right. See? Yep. Yeah, I needed that. I needed that. You know, as a kid, we used to hate getting the shots. Do you remember going, when we were in elementary school, they had the polio shots, didn't they? Had all that stuff that, man, I remember sitting in, now we used to get those in the Army. I don't know if they do that anymore with the guns. And you want to go, oh, man, it hurt. No, please, no. No. But as a kid, man, you were like, oh, man. And sometimes, listen, this is true. Truth sometimes hurts the flesh, hurts this thing up here, soul, mind, will, and emotions. But so we've got to, in fact, let's go over there. 2 Timothy. Oh, I can see we're not going to get done tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy, the fourth chapter. Man, I'll tell you, there's so much happening in the body of Christ right now, here in America. And just, you know, stuff's crashing and burning, folks. But, everybody say but. There's good news. There's good news. And I'll find it, 2 Timothy chapter 4. Okay. Paul says this. He's warning. And there's so much talking about. He's talking about that we could compare to today. But he says, Timothy, I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and kingdom. Here he says, preach the word. Now that's for pastors and teachers, or for you and I that are just out there, average Joes, average Janes out there, ministering to people. speak the word. Jesus said in John 6, he said, my words are life and they're peace, right? So we got to speak the word. I appreciate, there was a brother I met here, I forget his name, Sunday, Cliff. And one thing he said about Ronnie is Ronnie just spoke the word into, he spoke life into me. He said, did I like it? No. That's what he said. Amen. He said, but I needed it. Yeah. See? And so, this is what, listen, because theatrics, funny things, you know, rock and roll in the church, not going to help you in troubled times. Amen. And we got a whole generation of churches that are raising people up in that stuff. Okay. Now, we like having fun here, don't we? I mean, if I wasn't having fun, I just might as well go to heaven. So we like having fun. In fact, I got so many messages, I could shoot little video clips like 30 seconds long that would crack you up. But there's such spiritual truths there, you know. But let's get into the word, because this is what changes us. So he says here, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke. Oh, we don't like that. Exhort. We like that. Okay. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come where they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears. They want the ears tickled. They will heap up for themselves teachers, all sorts of peoples that will tell them what they want to hear, not what they need to hear. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things. You, he's saying, Mark, you be watchful in all things. Dottie, be watchful in all things. He's speaking right to us here. Be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. What kind of afflictions? We're going to be persecuted because we stand for this right here. Now, we're not rigid, religious, you know, dry as corn shucks, people that love Jesus. No, people need real. They need to know that we're just like Jesus in the sense that we bleed too. We're not perfect. We got no perfect marriage here. Pastor Tommy and Lynn, they don't wake up in the morning and, you know, their pants and dress or clothes, whatever, just float on over to them and they just kind of slip in and all of a sudden a little pfft and their hair is great and they don't have to brush their teeth, and every light's green wherever they go. I think there's people that think that pastors live on this plane, and I will say that some pastors make people think they do at times live on this plane, and it is like, are you kidding me? You're not even on planet Earth, bud. Amen. You're out there in some ozone land, somewhere where people don't even live. He's like a Goodyear blimp, and we're just ropes hanging off and trying to get a few scraps off this wonderful man of God. Come on. It's not real, folks. Jesus was never like that. Paul was never, we're going to get into some stuff here in such a short time. Oh, Lord. I said all that to say this. We're teaching and training you, guys, Pastor Tommy and I, and our wonderful teachers that we have teaching our young people out there and our children on Sundays, we're people that walk with a limp too. Okay? And so here's the dealio. He says, we're teaching you to toughen up. Come on, suck it up, soldier of Christ. Right? And so where your real one-on-one training takes place is in the secret place. It's in the place of refuge. And here's, I guess, where I'm going to close tonight. There's a great book. You need to get it. It's called The Circle Maker by Mark Batterson. Incredible book on prayer. Another wonderful book. And he said this. This is so powerful. Whew. He said this, and then we'll close with this tonight. He said, go home, Lock yourself in your room in the secret place. Kneel down in the middle of your floor and with a piece of chalk, draw a circle around yourself. There on your knees, pray fervently, pray brokenly, that God would start a revival within that chalk circle right there. Right here. God, do it for me. Do it in me. I'm here, Lord. I'm in the secret place. What do you want to say to me? How is it that you want to change me? What do I need to change? What do I need to do? What, God, if it's, maybe God's just saying, as some of you shared tonight, which I so appreciate, because that's the word I'm hearing, rest in my presence. Don't worry about all the other things, because sometimes our minds can race, oh gosh, I got to change this, I got to change that, I got to do this, I got to do that. No. See, the devil's the ones trying to get you to leap to change all that stuff right now. No way. You can't do it. You can't do it. Holy Spirit has to go to work. And maybe the work begins in the secret place of rest. Refuge. That's what it is. We didn't get into it, but on Sunday we're going to pick it up. That in the place of refuge, many times does not negate or do away with the storms that are raging all about you. But in the secret place, and we'll talk about this Sunday, nothing can happen to you and me that hasn't passed through God's hands already. In the secret place, He's the one that's protecting us. He's giving us that rest. How many have experienced, I know you have, you've experienced, I have recently experienced this peace, this utter peace, but still knowing in my mind, there's this raging storm going on outside of my outside where I'm at right now. You just know that. But you know that because God's got you. He's holding you in His hands. Okay? Why? Why do I know that? Because you've made that effort. You've gone into, and where He is, where you are, He's right there with you. He's right there to lift you up, to sometimes He's just to love on you and hug. Sometimes, I'm going to just be real, sometimes we just need to have a good cry. Amen. A good cry in the presence of God. Yeah. Man, I've been there. Just like, you know, just at the end of your rope. You don't know, but I'll tell you what. What happens is when you get there and then God brings you out of it, you chalk that up. You don't throw that in file 13. You just put that right back there where when it comes time, all of a sudden there's power in reminiscing of how God has delivered you, has saved you, has healed you, has provided for you each and every time. Sometimes it took longer. Sometimes it was painful. Sometimes it was instantaneous. I'll never forget. 1982, July of 82, when I was trying to go back on active duty, and I got orders to go in like 1 week, and I was all set to go. And I got a phone call saying, "Sarge, they canceled your orders. You can't go." I had already quit my job because I got my orders in my hand saying I was good to go. And I remember sitting there, no job, house payment, bills piling up, two little kids, and her, Jill. Her. Jill. And because back then we were like this. Right? We just had, and here's why. Because we ran away from the secret place. We were running from God for 2 years. A And God allowed that to happen. And I'll never forget just breaking down crying in our dining room. And while I'm crying, the phone rings. And my first sergeant says, I got you some new orders, Sarge. You're going. But you got to wait 3 months. And I'm like, oh, okay. And that's when we were so far from God. My point is, I had a good cry back then. I've had many others since. And it's okay. God understands. Amen? Amen. Father, we just thank you for your great love towards us.